Way down in Missouri, when I heard this lullaby, while the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.
Welcome to Show Missouri. This is Missouri One County Time. We are in Davies County today. Davies County, founded on December 19, 1836, the 55th county formed, 569 square miles of beautiful northwest Missouri, chock full of history. I'm so excited to be here. Named for Joseph Hamilton Davis, soldier killed in the Battle of Tippecanoe. We are here in Gallatin, the county seat, joined by Trudy Bergman, the Historical Society, the president of the society, here at this museum that is an absolute treasure. Miss Trudy, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having us here, because it's such, I've been trying to get this out for everybody to see, because it's such a unique type of jail.
It is.
And there's only three of them left out of the 18 that were built.
We're going to get into this. We're talking about the James Yang. We're also joined by Keith Sutton with the Missouri Farm Bureau. Mr. Sutton, thank you so much for having us.
Thank you for asking me.
We appreciate the hospitality. Doing some reading about Davies County, the Indians that came through, the Sacs, the Foxes, Potawatomis, and Musquatties. My hillbilly dialect might have butchered that last one bit. Their last camp, they said, was at Albury Grove. Disappeared in 1834 is the last records they had of it. There were hunters that came through here and visited as early as the 1820s. But what I was reading is the first settlers that made their home here arrived around 1830 when John and Mayberry Splawn, am I saying that right?
I'm assuming so.
S-P-L-A-W-N built a cabin near the site of where the Rock Island Depot is before they moved to a place called Splawn Ridge. And I wonder how it got called Splawn Ridge. I guess if you're the first person to settle it, you can call it what you want. which is always one of my favorite things to know. Miss Trudy, how'd you come and your family come to live here in Davies County?
Well, actually, my husband was born and raised in Jamison, which is just 7 miles north of here. And I met him 40 years ago, and I came here to live. And I had never heard of a squirrel cage jail until that time. And he was, that's when they were doing all the renovation on this, because we got together in 1990. And he was working on this, and he put the heating and air conditioning in here.
Now, where's your family originally from?
Canesville, which is just north of here,
yep.
About seven, just north. It's still in Missouri, but my grandfather had, that was where the family farm was then.
Mr. Burton, had your family come to live here in Davies County?
Well, my ancestors, one side of them come from Ohio, and my grandmother Sutton, they come from Kentucky in a covered wagon. Why did they stop in Missouri? Why did they leave Ohio? I don't know. But I've lived here my whole life.
What part of county do you live in now?
A mile and a half away from where I was born.
What part of that?
Very north edge of Davies County. We're just right south of Gilman City, which is in Harrison County.
Yeah.
My mom, she grew up around Jamison, and my father grew up around Coffee, which was two towns that are about 7 miles apart, right up 13 north here. And that's where I stopped. That's where I am.
What all you farmed?
We farm about 1,700 acres of row crop, which is corn and beans mainly. And then I have a younger son that farms with me. We have about 200 head of mama cows. Cattle market's great right now.
Yeah, good time to be. You ain't been able to say that very often.
Not very often.
Say it right now.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about how beef is too high. I tell you, if they'd get out there and take care of a herd of cows in the wintertime, they'd figure out that it's not too high.
Yeah.
It's kind of tough.
The people that say that, they ain't out raising cattle.
That's right. And more of the younger people.
You start having calves drop in January, and you got to go,
Well, the younger people, they don't want to mess with them cattle. We're at a 75-year low of cows in the United States.
I didn't notice it until prices got good, because before, you understand when prices are low and folks don't want to be in it, but now the prices are good, you start to get worried you're going to go the way of the dairy farms. There used to be so many great dairy farms in Missouri, and now just very few you find. Well, the county formed out of a dispute between the LDS church members and folks in Ray County who were not. And so I guess Davies County got some of the LDS folks. They kind of decided to go their separate way here, and Ray County was not. In 1838, they put together a proposal for a courthouse that did not move forward. It was going to be a $600 courthouse that did not move forward. In 1840, however, there was a proposal that they come up with a $6,000 courthouse. And this is kind of an odd thing. Usually in North Missouri, folks grab them nickels and dimes pretty tight. The proposal came in $2,000 over, which, I mean, it was 33% over budget, which did not make folks leave a very good taste in folks' mouths. It was, they said, poorly constructed and leaked from the beginning and had a lot of water damage, which also the over, you know, usually if you're going to come in over budget, you better do a good job, right? Well, folks it does appear in Davies County got a little bit on the short end of the cost and the construction. It was finally raised in 1886. They had several elections to build a new courthouse, and they all failed, part because of the overruns and part because of the poor craftsmanship of the last courthouse. But on December 5th, 1905, they let a bid for, they had the election was held, and a $69,000 bid was accepted. It is an interesting history through Missouri courthouses and where they are. This courthouse, what you have now, is a beautiful courthouse that really came together well, and they did a good job. I mean, it's been a very lasting building. I mean, I guess that it's a point of pride, right, for folks here.
Oh my goodness, yes. That's one of the things that the jail and the courthouse are the two main attractions for Gallatin.
Well, they did it right. They took them two tries, but they got it right. Tell me about the clock on the top of the courthouse.
Well, there's only two of those clocks in the whole wide world, and we have one of them here, and it was put in here in 1908. The same time that it was put on in there.
And you got to wind it, right?
Has to be wound, hand wound, every 7 days, and it's wound by Eric Corwin, and he's been doing it for 50 some years now.
That is an awesome tradition. So every 7 days you have to wind the clock, right?
Uh-huh.
That is a great story, a great rural Missouri story to tell. About that, the dedication to plan to wind that clock every day for 50-some years.
Yeah.
And he has to climb the stairs to get to it.
93 steps to get up to the clock to be able to wind it.
I'm an awful big old boy. You get more than 9 or 10 steps, I'm sucking wind.
Well, most people can't do that because... No. But Eric does give tours of it, and... it's a beautiful, beautiful thing to see, and he shows them how it's all wound and the whole works. And we've got some really good pictures of it, too.
I love it. It is a terrific, that is an amazing tradition to be able to do that. You thought when they split the counties up, Davies and Ray, the controversy would be over, but there was there were some already folks living in Davies County that were not part of the LDS Church, and the LDS Church had a tradition in Missouri. They'd come someplace, and then they would explode with people coming here. There was a candidate, a Whig candidate, called William Pennison. He denounced the right of the Latter-day Saints members to vote, and violence erupted on August 6, 1838, and was called the Gallatin Election Day Battle. I guess they fought it out. Now, you know, it's kind of hard to get your mind around telling folks that they're not allowed to vote. I mean, that's the kind of, whatever your religion is, I mean... You know, Muslim. There's a mayor of New York now is Muslim. It's kind of hard to get your mind around that. Mm-hmm. That sort of dislike because of somebody's religious beliefs. Do you still have a lot of folks in the LDS Church and their ancestors living here?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes. Yeah.
They're moving back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, because of Jameson, where they've got the Adam on Diamond.
Now tell folks what that is.
That's where they
believe the Garden of Eden was at. They believe Adam is buried up there.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
So, to that, I mean, I'm used to folks, maybe we're all more comfortable with our own things, what we was raised around, and Catholic, Baptist, whatever you are, there's no question. If you're LDS, you're more comfortable with the religion you've chosen, you've been raised around. But do you still see some of that tension today?
Yes, you do. It's, you have to be careful what you say. And when I do the tours for the jail here, I'm very, very careful to not do anything that could be controversial between the LDS and the non-LDS.
They're just people, though. I actually farm part of that land, and they're just people. They have missionaries here year-round.
It's kind of, I mean, you're the only person I ever met that's been farming Adam's gravesite.
Well, I don't exactly farm his gravesite.
But his property, it's
right.
All, that's, you know.
Right.
I'm with you. Being maybe the age I was up, it's hard to come up with a thought that says, okay, just because you believe a different religion, you can't vote. That is a significantly un-American thing. But now, where would the gravesite of Adam be, according to the church?
It's up there in Adam on Diamond.
Now, how'd you get there from Gallatin?
I could show you.
7 miles just before you get to Jameson.
Just where you get to Jameson. Is it a place, is there a marker there? Can you see
it? Oh, yes. Huge markers there.
I've seen far west, where in Caldwell County, is becoming a bigger spot. And they've got a little plate. They've got a marker on the road, but now they've got a little, like, almost visitor center type thing they built there.
Well, there's no visitor center. In fact, you can drive through it, but you have to be careful when you drive through it. Because of all the land and everything, they don't really like people driving through it. But
sure, it's privately owned, I see.
It is privately owned.
Is it by a private citizen or the church?
By the church.
Okay, it's interesting. John Smith and others arrived to help the saints. Vigilantes began to harass, and this is an interesting turn in the story. There's a narrative that's taken as fact that a lot of the abuse was on non-LDS to LDS folks, but in Davies County there was a preemptive strike, plundering and burning property in Millport, Gallatin, and Grindstone Fork settlements that they thought harbored vigilantes. The LDS folks made a preemptive strike on those towns, which is sort of counter to the narrative that's put out that these folks were just picked on the whole time. And what I think probably comes from that narrative is it was in response to those preemptive strikes, Governor Lilburn Boggs decided he would order the state militia and order them exterminated in 1838. Now, I've read where most of them left, but some folks decided to stay and just, I don't know if they practiced their religion privately or how they did it, but it wasn't, I mean, obviously the fact folks were still here, it wasn't a total extermination. Some of the folks stayed, right?
Most of them left, and they headed down towards more Liberty and down in that area.
And then Illinois, right?
Then they came back.
Yeah. The ultimatum was given, essentially compelling all the saints to leave the county by early November 1838. A lot of them moved to Caldwell County, where they stayed until they moved to Illinois and moved closer to the Kansas City area. John Smith spent time here in early April 1938. He was a prisoner of the state of Missouri during that time. I don't think he was held here in Davies County, though, correct? He was held down closer to central part of the state.
Down in Liberty.
LDS tradition, this was Adam's, where Adam and Eve came after they left the Garden of Eden, where he's buried, and the gathering spot before the second coming of Christ. Is that kind of what brings folks in the LDS church back here waiting for Christ's second coming?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. They believe he's going to come through Liberty, through Far West, and right through Davies County.
Well, it's one of the things, no matter what your religion is, I guess we'll see, right?
I don't know if we'll exactly see it or not. But
yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where your prediction's as good as anybody else's,
that's right,
I reckon, I mean, it will be a point of pride that you're farming the ground Jesus came back on, you know.
Yeah.
At least I would think that. So when the Civil War happened, you know, probably there was more There was more contention probably with the LDS Church than there was in the Civil War. Davis County saw 900 men enlisted in the Union Army and 300 in the Confederate Army. There was a skirmish near Cravensville. Now, where's Cravensville if you're leaving Gallatin?
Well, actually it's on kind of on this other side of Gallatin.
Okay.
And it's farmland and things like that. Dr. Dickinson's
house is there.
Uh-huh. It's down there where it was.
The skirmish, basically the Union defeat the Confederates, and most of it was just guerrilla warfare that here with bushwhackers and things, and then folks pursuing bushwhackers and back and forth. But I think there's two things I always think of Davies County. I think of the LDS Church and some of the conflict that was pre-Civil War. And then post-Civil War, you had the James Gang, which was quite a notorious thing for Davies County. The first confirmed bank robbery of the James Younger Gang occurred at December 7th, 1869 at Davis County Savings Association in Gallatin.
Davis County.
Yeah.
You said Davis.
My bad. Well, my hillbilly dialect can butcher it. I always have to apologize to folks. My hillbilly tongue can get a little cross sometimes. Now, where is that at here in Gallatin?
The jail?
The Savings
The Savings and Loan, where it was at. It was on the southwest corner of the square, and there is a land title office mm-hmm. in there presently, and in September Galton always has a Chautauqua celebration, and a lot of times they do a reenactment of the robbery, and I believe there was a gentleman killed during that robbery, wasn't there?
Yep. Mm-hmm. John Sheets, the bank cashier, was killed in the process by Jesse James, who believed he was Samuel P. Cox, who had killed James's bushwhacker colleague Bloody Bill Anderson during the war. But he didn't. It wasn't him. He shot the wrong guy, right?
Yes, he did.
So, in July 15th, 1881, the gang was believed to be responsible for a robbery of the Rock Island Line at Winston, which a conductor and the passengers were killed. So Jesse James was murdered in St. Joseph. After he was murdered, which it's such an interesting thing. Governor Dockery is from here, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
He was one of the main people that encouraged the railroad to put out a bounty, and basically sanctioned a bounty, dead or alive. Most of the time, those bounties were, by the 1880s, you didn't have that many actual government sanctioned, murders, bounty hunting. But the governor from Davies County, do you think it's because, they started their first robbery here and he took it kind of personal, or?
Yes, they took it very personal. And I think that's the reason that so many things were centered back right here in Davies County.
Well, after he was murdered, there was some public backlash on the murder of Jesse James. Then there was a big, essentially a public outcry, led to Frank James surrendering himself. And one of the most interesting things, they put Frank James on trial right here in Davies County. The trial was such a huge spectacle. They had to move it, right, to the Opera House, correct?
Mm-hmm. Which is across the street from where the courthouse is sitting now.
And it's no longer there. It's been...
No, it burned down.
Yeah.
Nobody burned it down, but it
one of the things that just happened.
It was one of the things that happened.
They put Frank James on trial, and he was found not guilty. Now, mm-hmm. I've read about this trial. It's a very big moment in Missouri history. I think the folks from the railroads and the governor thought, well, he'll just be convicted and we won't. He was not convicted. And it's one of those things where nobody knows if it was exactly that the jury thought he didn't do it, or just they hated the government and they sympathized with Frank James a little bit, right?
Yes, basically they did. They were afraid that Jesse was going to get, the reason Jesse supposedly was shot. He actually was not shot. There's a whole story on that one, too.
Tell me the story. That's what I came up to hear.
Well, actually, Jesse, they had to, the where he was shot in St. Joe, he actually was not shot. It was a big put-up deal because it was not Jesse that was shot. It was one of the Ford boys that was shot.
Wow. So they think Jesse James made it out, and what, did he go to Mexico, or what did he do?
He went to Texas.
Texas, where all the outlaws go, right?
Right.
And, all outlaws end up in Texas.
That's where he's actually... Now, if you go to Kearney, they'll tell you a whole different story.
Uh-huh.
Because that's where he was born. But actually, he went to Texas, and that's where he's buried. And his family will not let anybody know about it either, where it is.
It is a very Missouri tale that these guys were, I think, started off maybe as Confederate sympathizers. But then, at some point, they were no longer, it wasn't about the Confederates. It was about them robbing folks. And then it was about getting even with the people that, I mean, they threw a grenade right in his mother's house and blew her arm off. And like Bloody Bill Anderson, I mean, in Quantrill, you know, the Union captured their families and they died in a poorly constructed jail. And that's when it went from, are they sympathizers to just, they were vigilantes wanting revenge, right? And it's interesting, the public mood was very much, of course, against folks robbing banks, taking their money and trains, and they were afraid. But once they killed Jesse James, they became... You know, or theoretically, possibly, if folks said they killed Jesse James, they became quite popular throughout this state.
They became very, very popular.
And isn't it amazing? It's, you know, the more thing, I remember when Trump was running, and if you were, you know, if you were in high society, you had no idea Trump would win. That was just foreign concept. I watched these people on the news, and whatever you think of Trump, he's a complex figure. Not my business to say, but I did watch on election night these folks in New York and just the shocked look on their faces that anybody would vote for him. It was a detachment, right? Mm-hmm. And it seems to me like the same thing repeats itself with Governor Dockery and the railroad men. They had no clue that no jury was going to convict Frank James, and I don't think they would have ever convicted him, do you?
No. I don't believe it.
Didn't matter what the evidence. In a little bit, frankly, and you know, when you get quote, history is easier to view in hindsight, but there's a lot of folks that say O.J. Simpson, probably the jury thought he might be guilty. However, they weren't going to convict him for their own reasons, probably not having anything to do with the evidence of that case. O.J. Simpson was not going to be convicted.
Right.
And a very similar thing to Frank James. They weren't going to convict Frank James unless you went to St. Louis or something, right? But in Daviess County... And in this part of the country, he was not, he, you know, the evidence really didn't matter that much, right?
Jesse was a hero.
Was he a hero before he was killed? He certainly was after.
Well,
yes, because he...
His family was...
They
confiscated the land from their family.
Yeah.
And if you didn't go along with, it was a railroad, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That was taking all that land. If you didn't agree to what they wanted to offer you for your... property, well, they just manhandled you out of the way.
You know, members of the Farm Bureau like yourself and myself, we fought for a long time against this grain belt taking your land, this power line. But if you really, you don't have to dig very deep into the law. To this day, the railroads have the most powerful eminent domain of anybody, more than MoDOT, more than anybody. They have federal eminent domain provisions where the railroad, you can own your land all you want, but even today, If they wanted to accept the public backlash, a railroad has far greater eminent domain powers than even most governments.
Yeah.
That's right.
Of course, whenever they got their right of way, they just took it. You didn't have no choice, you know, as a landowner. They just took it from you one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And all them right of ways are still on the books. And that's why they have so much controversy over the Katy Trail whenever they're trying to get it. Because it was supposed to relate back to go back to the land original landowners, and I assume some judge took a different viewpoint on that.
Well, and after Frank James was released, they built the building we're in today, the old Squirrel Cage Jail, right? They built it. We'll tell the story. How did this come to be built?
Because of the robbing of the bank by Frank and Jesse.
And so we're going to, I think Jake got a couple pictures of the jail. We'll put them up on the website. It is, I guess to me, I don't think you could have described what the cylinder is without seeing a picture of it. I've heard of this jail. But my mind, I honestly say, in my mind's eye, I couldn't capture it. So essentially there's a, a big door to the jail. Mm-hmm. There's a living quarters, I guess it's for the sheriff and his family, right? Mm-hmm. Then in the back, it's a, you go through one big jail door that looks like every other jail door, bang bolt or whatever. Then you go through another jail door, and then you open it up, and there's a cylinder with two bunks apiece. Is there eight different, how many rooms?
Eight cells.
Eight cells, two bunks apiece, mm-hmm. and it rotates around.
Goes around.
Mm-hmm. And you then there's one door out, so.
One way in, one way out.
Yep. And so you're kept in the cell the whole time, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You did not get out of there. That was your home for as long as they wanted to keep you in there.
Yeah. And it is such a unique structure. I can't really imagine. I mean, I guess if there's a fire or something, you're just in there, right?
Well, yes and no.
What else are you going to do?
How,
right?
But how steel does not burn, brick does not burn.
There you go.
So I don't know how they would say that it was going to burn down, because it wasn't going to burn down.
But it feels like it had got a little chilly in the winter and a little warm in the summer.
Right.
But I guess it ain't supposed to be fun, so.
Well, you were in jail. You were a prisoner.
Yep.
You were not somebody that was giving handouts and things like that.
How things have changed. A lot of people like being in jail because it's free living.
Yeah.
And they have basically all the rights that you and I have.
Sometimes more.
That's correct.
But you didn't have any rights in there.
No, it's a different time. Before we take our break, I want to thank our sponsors, the Missouri Co-ops, the Missouri Association of Counties, and the Missouri Farm Bureau, letting us come to places like Gallatin and see outstanding things like this terrific squirrel cage jail museum. We'll be right back on Show Missouri. This is Missouri One County at a Time from Davies County.
We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the Missouri way of life. We're for worrying less about the what-ifs and more about the why-nots. We're for checking off your bucket list and then making a new one. For starting a family, a business, a tradition. And if you find yourself starting over, we're here for that too. We're for building a life in Missouri and then going out and living it. And when it comes to making sure everything you've built is protected, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance.
The Show Me Missouri podcast is brought to you by our friends at Halo, Heartland Area Landowners. Halo is a membership-based organization for folks interested in farming the sun and the wind. Halo members are passionate about their land, our world, and stewarding the resources that feed America, power, and its economy. Farming the sun and wind has incredible benefits for farmers, landowners, and all Missouri communities, all while helping secure America's energy independence. To learn more about Halo and how you can get involved, visit heartlandowners.farm. That's heartlandowners.farm.
Welcome back to Show Missouri. This is Missouri One County at a Time. We are in Davies County, the old squirrel cage jail here in Gallatin. We are joined by Miss Trudy Burton, the president of the Historical Society. Miss Burton, thank you for the hospitality.
Thank you for coming. It is such a pleasure to be able to get this out even more.
Yes, ma'am.
As I have tried for years and years and years, because it is so unique.
Yeah. It is truly a thing. If you're in North Missouri and you're going down 36 or something, you almost have to come up here and take a look. It is a real neat thing. And we are joined by Mr. Keith Sutton with the Farm Bureau. Mr. Sutton, thank you so much for having us up here, and we appreciate the hospitality.
Thank you.
Let's talk about, where do folks work at here in Davies County today?
Landmark Manufacturing, which is located, south and east of Gallatin.
What do they make?
They're manufacturing. They make several things, Can't exactly tell you one thing, but they do contract work with, big companies like Deere and the like. And they got some of the biggest metal presses that they ever made, I believe.
I've seen some good cattle farms up here. What's the agriculture like in Davies County today?
Well, be quite truth about it, there ought to be more cattle in this country, just because there's a lot of land that's being row cropped that should have been left in grass.
Yes.
But, I'll tell you, it's mostly a row crop, mainly corn and soybeans. A lot of pasture ground's been destroyed. And the reason I can go back into the early 70s is when a lot of that started, when soybeans got to be worth $11 a bushel then. And people said, I'm tired of building fence. So they just pushed all the fence rows out and went to raising more soybeans, and about 2 years later, they found out their beans was only worth $4.50.
I'll tell you what, folks don't know cold until you have in the middle of February one night, you have your hole in the fence.
Yeah.
There ain't nothing colder than trying to repair a fence on about dusk in February.
Yeah.
You earn your spurs that during that.
And it usually happens if you get that phone call, there's a cow out, it's usually dark.
Yeah, it all them cows always pick the coldest, wettest, darkest time to make their break.
Yeah.
I guess they learned that from the James Gang. Tell me about the schools here in Davies County.
Well, we have, there is a school in every one of the small towns.
Yeah.
We have, of course, we're the county seat.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the larger of them, but Jamison's got a good school.
They've been recognized. Jamison's been recognized several times by different things in the state they've accomplished.
Yeah, they have a. They are the first one that was reorganized, I believe.
Right.
That's where my husband actually went to school there.
That's when they started combining the single room schoolhouse into a multi grade. Schoolhouse.
Who is Gallatin's rival?
Everybody.
Everybody. They are.
Yeah. Every is it a basketball rivalry, I assume, in the most part. Does Gallatin have an 8-man team, football, or just basketball?
No, they play football, but I can't tell you. It's eight, I believe.
It is eight. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It is eight.
But some of it is a co-op. You know, they take in few students from the surrounding schools. Pattonsburg, which is another school district, they started playing football again a few years ago.
Okay.
And Winston's got a school, and like she said, Coffee and Jamison went together several years ago. So it's North Davies.
Right.
And Jamesport's got a school. And
all of them look forward to playing Gallatin, right?
Well,
I don't know if they look forward to it or not. But
I went to school at Gilman City, which is actually right on the Harrison County line. And,
what was your big game of the year?
Jamison.
Yeah, I like it. The politics in Davies County, you know, it seems like it followed the trail of most of the state. You know, you had your... Out of the Civil War, everybody was Democrats. And then out of the Depression, everybody was Democrats. And then slowly started to evolve a little to vote Republican. Is Davies County followed most of rural Missouri in that trail?
Yeah. Davies County used to be a pretty Democratic stronghold, and it's more Republican. If I might, I might tell a little family story on this. My grandma Letha Sutton and grandpa Omer Sutton. One was a Democrat and one was a Republican. and my mom always said, "Why do you guys even bother to go vote?" You know, because one was voting Democrat and the other was voting Republican.
It gives them something to argue about, right? It keeps everything interesting.
I guess.
The same way in our family.
Was it?
Yeah. I didn't, as a child, I hated politics because my mother and dad, they fought like...
Now, was the members of the LDS, were they a particular party, or how'd that shake out? Or they just kind of where everybody else was, they just kind of their own faction?
Well, I can tell you the modern day missionaries that's out there, they're pretty much Republican.
Yeah, that makes sense. Tell me, the notable folks, Joshua Alexander was the former United States Secretary of Commerce. I didn't know this. The senator from Montana, Conrad Burns, graduated Gallatin High School.
Right.
I'm not stunned, but I didn't know that fact. It's kind of a neat fact. William Thornton Kemper, the financial family, anybody in Kansas City knows the Kemper family. He was from Gallatin. Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
There's a lot of famous people from Gallatin.
And then the Missouri House Speaker, Joshua Alexander. We mentioned Governor Dockery. He was a Gallatin guy. There's still a... At the jail, the penitentiary in Jeff City, it's gone now. The historic one has a big bust of him right as you walk in, statue of him out in front of it. It's funny, you know, his whole career really does seem to be summed up by his interactions with the James Gang, and I'm not sure historically he came out on the good end of that. You know,
well, everybody did because the James Gang were very famous.
Yeah, That's about, yeah, I think that's, it's hard to run up against fame. Is anybody else I'm missing? Give me some more notable folks that passed through here or from here.
Well, in one of my other rooms, I've got pictures of a lot of different people that have done so many different things. If you want to go in there, I can show you.
We sure will.
Because...
give me a couple of them.
One of them is the one for the telephone.
Oh, Alexander Graham Bell?
Well, no, it's not... I can't think of his name, but anyway, there's a picture of him in there. But there's a lot of things that... A lot of famous people from right here from Gallatin.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you right off the top of
my head.
I'll tell
you, Davies County punches above its weight in history and notable people. I guess the more history you have, the more notable people you have that interact with the county. It is one of the counties that has such a rich history, and it's a real testament to the folks in this county and you personally for preserving so much of it. You've got there's a lot of counties that don't have as many things to preserve. You not only have them, but you've done a great job preserving them.
Well, it's worth preserving because history is being lost.
Yeah.
And we want history to keep going on so it doesn't repeat itself.
Well, my favorite question to ask, before I do want to thank our sponsors one more time, the Missouri Farm Bureau, the Missouri Co-ops, and the Missouri Association of Counties letting us come to places like Davies County here at this beautiful old squirrel cage jail house and museum. You know, Mr. Sutton, if you were going to bring somebody to Davies County, where would you take them? What would you have them know about the county?
Well, I think we're sitting in one of the unique historical places, not only in Davies County, but in the
whole state, yeah.
In the whole state. And you got the clock. You know, there's a lot of tour buses now come through the AOA land up there. Jamesport, we haven't talked much about Jamesport. That's all their community is anymore, is antique shops. And they have several festivals every year. And of course, personally, I think Jamesport probably had one of the very first Amish population in the state. And they have a lot of stores, a lot of good places to eat.
Ma'am, where would you take someone if you brought them to the county?
To the jail.
I love it. I knew you was going to say that. I was looking to see the smile on your face when you did. Well, I just want to thank Mr. Sutton. I appreciate so much you'll let us come up here and take a look at things and visit us about the history of Davies County. You have so much to be proud of. It is a county rich in history.
It is so rich in history, and that's the reason that I have tried ever since I have been here, which has been over 40 years now, to get people to see. And every place I go, I say, have you ever heard of the Squirrel Cage Jail? And I have a card that I always give them. And I said, give me a call, and I'll give you a tour of the Squirrel Cage Jail.
Well, thank you all so much for having us. That's Shore, Missouri. This is Missouri, one county at a time. This has been Davies County, Missouri, and we'll see you next week.
Way down in Missouri, when I heard this lullaby, while the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.